John chapter 17, we'll begin reading in verse number 11 and read through verse number 16. John 17, verse 11, that's page 796 in the Pew Bible. John 17, verse 11. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept. And none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scriptures might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldst take them out of the world, but that thou shouldst keep them from evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Let's pray once again. Father, pray that you'd bless the reading and the preaching and the hearing and the doing, Father, of your word. We don't want to be just hearers, Father. We want to be doers also. And so, Father, as we read these verses this morning, that open unto us this magnificent scene of our Lord and Savior, knowing that He will soon go unto the cross and that He will not be with the disciples physically anymore, that He prays for them and not only them, for us also, that we might be kept, knowing that we yet remain in the world, that they at that time were still in the world, we here and now are still in the world. And Father, we need to be kept. We must be kept. We can't keep ourselves any more than my 3-year-old daughter can keep herself, Father. We need to be kept. We are your children. And Father, we ask this morning this same thing that our Lord here prays, that we would be kept while in the world. Father, help us. Strengthen us. We don't have strength sufficient. Give us wisdom. We don't have wisdom sufficient. Enable us, Father, because we cannot enable ourselves. Help us to overcome or will not be able to. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. We saw last week that the Lord does things for His people that He doesn't do for the world. That's plain from what we read last week. The Lord does things for His people that He doesn't do for the world. Verse number 9 says that. What does He do? Verse 9 says, I pray for them who? His disciples. He prays for those who believe upon His name. He prays for those who God has given unto Him. He says, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which Thou hast given me, for they are Thine. So we, as God's people, as His children, those of us who are in Christ, have been given unto the Son by the Father. Given unto the Son to keep us while He was in the world by giving His life for us and dying on our behalf. Atoning for our sin. That He did. And whenever He was facing the cross and knew that He wouldn't be in the world anymore, that would be the end of His ministry, physically speaking upon the earth, His physical body being here with those disciples, He prays, Father, not just Father, but Holy Father, keep them. Keep them. You who are holy, keep them, sanctify them. That's verse, we read verse 17, but He says, sanctify them through Thy truth. Thy word is truth. He's holy. He calls us to be holy as He is holy. And we are made holy, justified, as some of those verses that we read this morning, We're being not only justified and declared holy, but sanctified and being made actually holy and righteous in our daily walk. That's what the Lord's praying for here. Keep them. Sanctify them. Cause them to walk in righteousness. And God says, I will be their God and they shall be my people. What kind of people is God going to have? Not going to be unholy people, right? It's going to be holy people. Not going to be unrighteous people. It's going to be righteous people. Does that mean that Christians don't sin? No. Sadly, it doesn't mean that. We oftentimes fail. We oftentimes fall. But we're not left in that condition. Though a righteous man falls seven times, the Scripture says, he will rise again. Why? Not by my own strength. Not by my own perseverance. Though I am called to persevere. Though I am called to keep my heart with all diligence. It's not by my power. It's by His. I'm not depending upon myself. I'm depending upon Him. I'm looking unto Him. And this is the thing that the Lord is praying for on our behalf here. So this special intercession that we have recorded for us of the Lord on our behalf is the source. Us being kept by the Father from evil while in the world. That is the source of our hope. That is the source of our being kept, is that the Father keeps us. That's the source of our safety. It's what you've heard referred to, I'm sure, before as the perseverance of the saints. It might be better stated this way, the preservation of the saints. Because it's God that preserves us. Though we are to persevere, it is by God's power. It's the preservation of us by the power of God. It's the keeping of us by the power of God unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last day. But it's the source of the believer's safety and keeping. He's watched. I read, one man gave an illustration of a father and a son walking beside the railroad tracks as a train's passing by. And it's not the holding on of the son's hand to the father's hand that's keeping that small child from wandering onto the tracks and being mowed down by the train. It's the father's hand that's holding on to that son and not letting him go. I'm not going to let you go over there. You know, you might not realize how dangerous that is. But I'm not going to let you go over there. It's the father's keeping. It's the father's hand holding the son. It's His watching us, caring for us. One whom, as I was talking to Anna and Lydia the other night, telling them that God doesn't sleep. You know, they were going to sleep. I was reading them a story, and we were praying together, and it was time for them to go to sleep. But I was telling them how that God doesn't sleep. That kind of amazed Anna, at least. I don't know how much Lydia really picks up on the things that we talk about yet, but God doesn't sleep. God doesn't sleep. He doesn't get tired. But isn't that a good thing for us? If He's the one keeping us, that there's never a time that He's not watching us. He's always watching. He never sleeps. He never slumbers. That's what the Bible says. He is able to save them to the uttermost who come unto God by Him, because He ever lives to make intercession for us. Hebrews 7:25. The Lord is able to save them to the uttermost who come to God by Him. He ever lives to make intercession for them. Here He's making intercession, but He ever lives to make intercession. This intercession that's going on here, He ever lives to make on our behalf, that we be kept by the power of God, that we not perish. Those who are kept by the power of God will never perish. Oh yeah, our bodies, one day, you know, they'll die. The soul lives on. Spirit lives on. They shall never perish. They shall have eternal life. We'll stand and persevere unto the end. We will. God's children will stand and persevere even unto the end. Not because of our own strength and goodness, but because, why? He ever lives to make intercession on our behalf. Judas fell to never rise again. But then we have the example of Peter, right? We mentioned him, I think it was last week. Peter, I prayed for you Satan has desired to sift you as wheat, but I prayed for you that your faith fail not. Let me tell you, Satan desires to sift you as wheat every day. Satan desires to sift me as wheat every day. He does. Why don't we fail every day? He intercedes for us on our behalf. I prayed for you that your faith fail not. Well, I guess even better would be to say this. Why don't we fall away? When we fall into sin like Peter did, and he denied the Lord 3 times, why don't we fall away? Why don't we just say to ourselves, I messed up. This isn't for me. You know, I can't do this. I denied the Lord 3 times. Why didn't Peter go away and go back and pick up his net and get back in his boat and go out there and fish the rest of his life and cease to follow the Lord? Why didn't that happen to him? Because the Lord prayed for him. Why doesn't your faith fail? Because the Lord's interceded on your behalf. That your faith fail not. That's why. One man said the true servant of Christ ought to lean back his soul. When I read that, I thought about John. You know, he's always the one that's leaning upon the Lord's breast. The true servant of Christ ought to lean back his soul on the truth that is before us and take comfort in it. It is one of the peculiar privileges and treasures of a believer and ought to be well known. However much it may be abused by false professors and hypocrites, it is one which those who really feel in themselves the workings of the Spirit who should hold firmly and never let go. You know, that says this to me. It's the conversation. One of the conversations that Andrew and I had yesterday. I was telling him about the power of God in keeping, you know, a person. That it's not a matter of walking down an aisle and praying a prayer and the preacher telling you that you're saved and pronouncing salvation upon you. That goes back to what I was saying this morning about not being able to give justification unto you. I can't do that. I can't make you feel justified. I can't make you feel no more condemnation. I can't make you feel peace. That has to come from God. There are those who would take this and they say, well, just go ahead and live your life however you please. You know, you profess Christ. You know, you've been baptized. And now you're safe. You can just go and live as you please. Well, the problem with that is the Christian, the way that he would please to live is a holy life. And what happens oftentimes to some of those people, I'm not saying all of them, but some of those people is that they go away and they're unchanged. There was just a cheap fire insurance policy is all it was. You know, there's something to add unto their lives. Well, what's going to hurt? I'll walk down there. Yeah, maybe a little humiliating, you know, walk down there to the front and say that prayer. But, you know, if that's all it takes, well, hey, I'm up for that. I can endure that for a moment, say a little prayer, and then just go on and live my life as I please and go back and live the same way I was living before. That's not repentance. Repentance means to turn from. It doesn't mean to turn from and go back unto. It means to turn from. I'm not the person that I once was. I have a new heart. I've been born again. And I was trying to explain to him the reality of that. And that's what God does. That's salvation that comes from God. That's not the salvation that comes from man. In our day, most of the salvation that man preaches is that sort that I'm describing. You just, as long as you come and you tithe and you've said that prayer and we baptized you, everything's okay. Don't worry about it. Go and live as you please. But that's not the kind of life that God's called us into. For those who are in Christ, who have been born again, whose desires are to be holy as He is holy, no condition is as safe as yours is. I mean, people can pronounce guarantees on things and they can provide warranties for things, but no condition is so safe as yours if you're in Christ, if you're His. The prayer of Christ is more than sufficient both to strengthen us, though we be weak, and we are weak, and to overthrow all the power of the adversary who seeks to sift us as wheat, though it be so much more strong than we are, so much more potent than we are. There is none that is so safe as those who are in Christ. Kept by the power of God, interceded for by Christ. Here's these men. You think about these disciples. Here they've been walking with the Lord these 3 years. And they've grown so attached. They've grown so dependent upon Him. And He's taken away from them. And there, He's no longer in the world with them, physically being in the world with them. But they're still in the world. That's what the Lord's saying in John 17, verse 11. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. They were accustomed to His physical presence, to hearing His voice. And they, no doubt, wanted to follow Him. And He told them, where I go, you can't follow. Why can't we follow Him? They asked Him. Why can't we follow Him? They wanted, no doubt, to follow Him and not be without seeing Him. They would surely feel for a time like sheep without a shepherd. And our Lord's specific request is that they and we might be kept. Why is it that you, as He said to Thomas, blessed are you, Thomas, because you've seen and believed. But blessed are they, though they have not seen, yet believe. Why is that? You have never seen His face, and yet you believe. Why is that? We're kept by His power. We're kept by His power. Why don't you just say to yourself one day, and thoughts like this may have crossed your mind at times, depending upon what you're going through, and say, is this real? Is God real? Are these things that I felt real? I mean, people come to such a depressed state, they can begin to feel that way. Am I really saved? Is there really eternal life? Why didn't they just fall away? Why didn't they just go on their way and forget living a life of faith? Because they're kept by the power of God. That's why. Kept by the power of God. There's things that come on people that are so much worse than any of us in this room probably have faced. Just incredible things that people endure. Why don't they fall away? Kept by the power of God. According to what our Lord's intercession for us and what He's praying here for us. You know what it means to keep something? You know, I could give Sister Louise something to keep for me. Maybe it's something fragile, breakable. And she sets it in the safest place that she can. But she didn't want anything to happen to it. But then, something does. Something unexpected happens. It's broken. Unrepairable. Now, we can do our best to keep things and still sometimes can't keep them. But that's not the case with the Lord. When He keeps us, there's nothing that's going to break or remove us from His hand. We said last week how the Father gave those who believe unto the Son to keep them, to deliver His word unto them, and ultimately to give Himself a sacrifice for them. Verse 12 says, While I was with them in the world, I kept them in Thy name. Those that Thou gavest to me, I have kept, and none of them is lost. But the son of perdition, he was already lost. He never was saved, that the Scripture might be fulfilled. Soon he'll say upon the cross, it's finished. He'll give up the ghost. But here and now, while he's still with them, he's praying that the Father would keep them. Do you think that the Father will answer the prayer of the Son? Absolutely. Without fail. All who are His will be kept and none will be lost. They will be kept by and through His power. John 10. Turn over there with me. John 10, 27. The 10th chapter of the Gospel of John. And the 27th verse. My sheep hear My voice, and I know them, and they follow Me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never... No possibility. That's an absolute. They shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of My hand. Verse 29. My Father, which gave them Me, is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. That's where we are. We're the little boy that the Father has by the hand. But even that little boy, as far as humanly speaking, something could still happen to him. Because we don't have all power, but God does. Nothing can happen unto us who are held. What can pluck us out of His hand? Nothing. You know, this word keep, if we think about the word keep for a minute, it means to attend unto something carefully. To attend unto it carefully. To take care of it. To guard it. To keep it. To keep it in the state in which it is. What state are we in when we think about that? And as far as keeping, we're in a justified state. Yes. A reconciled state. A pardoned state, according to the things that we saw this morning, right? That's the kind of state that we're being kept in by the power of God. That's not going to change. God's not going to say in His Word, I've blotted your transgressions out and your sins out, and they're remembered no more, and then remember them. Something happened and we do something that changes that, or somebody else does something that changes that. No, not going to happen. It's that we're kept in that state. That's not going to change. Those things are under the blood of Christ. His sin, our sins, His death has paid for once and for all. Never to be remembered anymore. So, to be kept in the state in which we are in. Justified. Reconciled. Pardoned. At peace with God. In the love of God. You know, we could go on and on and on, right? To be kept in that state. Now, sometimes we don't feel those things because of things that we do. But we've not been removed from that state. You know, you may sin, and you may not feel, because of that sin, as close to the Lord as you did before that sin. There are men that I know, pastors that I know, that have entered into dark times in their lives. Wasn't necessarily because of a sin. We know it doesn't have to be. Look at Job. Was it because of a sin in his life that he entered into that time? Doesn't have to be because of a sin. But I know pastors have entered into very, very, very dark times, and they lasted a very, very, very long time. And it was extremely difficult to preach during those times, and to pray during those times, and to counsel God's people during those times. Eventually they came out of that. And they learned some things through that. They didn't feel as close to the Lord during those times as they wanted to feel. They didn't preach with as much power as they wanted to preach. They didn't pray as fervently and effectually as they wanted to pray. On their side, things weren't the way they wanted them to be. But on God's side, nothing had changed. They were being kept justified, kept reconciled, kept in His love, in His care. That had not changed. And it will not change. It cannot change. That's what the Lord's praying for here. That's what He's talking about here. It means to reserve, to undergo something. You might reserve a little bit of money over here for a particular thing. To undergo something. Sister Louise, I know you told me that you reserved some money to get those shots that you had in your back. And here you are this morning. I take it maybe they helped a little bit. I don't know. I still see you kind of, you know, that seat gets hard, I know. But to reserve something to undergo something. What are we reserved for? Not damnation. Not hell. We're reserved for heaven. We're reserved for eternal life. We're being kept and reserved for that state. We're being kept for. That's what the Lord's praying for here. He says, Holy Father, keep through Thine own name those whom Thou hast given Me, that they may be one as We are. When you think, look at that there. Keep through Thine own name. What does that mean? To be kept through the name of God. By the word name is sometimes meant the whole character of God. The whole of God and what He is. The whole of all that He is keeping you. It's keeping you. The whole power and prerogative of God is keeping it. And frequently power is meant by the word name. You know, people would come in the name of someone to conquer a land or something. You know, Romans would come in the name of Caesar to those towns, and those people didn't have the defenses, didn't have the army to withstand the Roman Empire. We're yours. You know, we can't stand against you, and neither can anything stand against the name of God, the power of God. Nothing can. We're kept through His name, by His name. Keep through Thine own name those whom Thou hast given Me. As we said last week, the Father didn't give us to the Son and then forget about us. Okay, they're yours, you keep them. No, He sent the Son that He might die on the cross on our behalf, that we might be kept. But the Father had never relinquished us in the sense that He wouldn't keep us. This is what the Lord's praying for here. Keep them. Keep them that You've given to Me. We learn in these verses that Christ does not wish His believing people, doesn't wish us as God's children to be taken out of the world. We read that here. But to be kept from evil while in the world. Now, on one hand, we might say, well, wouldn't it be nice once we're converted, as soon as we repented and we had been born again, just to be whisked into heaven right then? Wouldn't that be nice? And as far as having to endure trouble and persecution and tribulation, we would easily say, yeah, I'd rather be, you know, there than here and not have to go through those things. But you know what? That's not what the Lord's done. In His wisdom, that's not what He's appointed for you and me. What He's appointed for us is that we be kept while in the world. Not to be taken out of the world. And He says that in our text. Not to be taken out of the world, but be kept while we are in the world. Remember Paul in Philippians 1:23, he says, I'm in a strait between two things. I'm troubled between two states, you could say. Having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. But He says, necessary that I remain here, you know, with you. I'm paraphrasing. Nevertheless, He says, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. What He said. So we can say the same thing. Or it wouldn't be so. It's more needful for you and me as believers to remain in this world after our conversion for however long the Lord appoints. I may reach 94 years old like my grandfather and be laying in the hospital bed and wonder. I'm not saying that he is, but I could at that age wonder, what purpose is there in all this? Why should I continue anymore? I mean, who am I benefiting? Well, you're benefiting your children. You're benefiting your grandchildren who are, you know, caring, praying, you know, watching you endure the last years and moments of your life and faith not fail. You know, there's benefit to everything that God does. You know, and so, yeah, even at 94, even if I could never walk again, I had to lay in bed for the remainder of my life. Is there a reason? Sure. And will we be kept even then? Yes. I've seen people and their faith in pretty poor state at those times, but it didn't fail. It didn't fail. Here these men were few in number, weak in strength, surrounded on every side by enemies and persecutors. And here's this little band of men. And they looked to the Lord in those times when men were coming against them. And now He's not there. And they're few in number and weak in strength, and they're surrounded by enemies on every side and persecutors. They might well long to be released from this mortal body and to be in heaven, to be away from this conflict. Like David, he prayed in the Psalms. He said, oh, that I had wings like a dove. Then I would fly away and be at rest. And that likely came when Saul was chasing him throughout the desert, right? Oh, that I had wings like a dove. That I might that I might fly away and be at rest. We feel that way sometimes. Absalom, his own son pursuing him. Oh, that I had wings like a dove, that I might fly away and be at rest. The disciples may have felt that way. But our Lord has wisely given this to be a part for us to have to endure. He thinks it better for us to remain in the world and be kept from its evil than to be taken out of the world and removed from the presence of evil altogether. That's what the Lord seemed fit to do. And why would that be? Think about it a little bit. Reflect upon it. Can we see the Lord's wisdom in leaving us here in this world, praying that we be kept from the evil of this world instead of taking us unto heaven? How could we do any good in the world if we weren't here? How could we even kind of witness our light of testimony if we weren't here? Taken away immediately after we were converted. How could we exhibit the power of God's grace? How could we make proof of faith that fails not? Show courage and patience. Be, as Paul said, a good soldier of Jesus Christ if we weren't here. Some would even say, how could we be duly trained when man said for heaven if we weren't yet here? Taught to value the blood and intercession and patience of our Lord unless we obtained experience through suffering here. We wouldn't know that. That's not what the Lord's chosen to do, to take us to heaven at once. In the day of conversion, that'd be easy, save us a lot of trouble. But the easiest course isn't always where the path of our duty, you know, lies. He that would win the crown must carry the cross, right? If we're going to win the crown, we're going to carry the cross. 2 Timothy 2, verse 12 says, if we suffer, we shall also reign with Him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with Him. Can't suffer unless we're here in this life, in the world, being kept from the evil of it. If we have any hope that we are Christ's true disciples, let us be satisfied that He knows better than we do what is for our good. Leaving our times in His hands, committing ourselves unto His keeping. That He will keep us, we don't have a doubt. We don't have to doubt. We can be sure. What, remember the disciples said, Lord, teach us to pray? Isn't that one of the things? Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, and we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. That's what the Lord's praying for here. Being delivered from evil. Being kept while in the world. Being like Daniel in Babylon. Don't pray. Still pray three times. Kept by the Lord. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. When you hear the sound of the trumpet, you have to bow down and worship this idol. We can't do it. I'm going to put you in the fiery furnace. Kept by the power of God. Or Daniel in the lion's den, rather. I said the other, but the mouth of the lions being stopped by the power of God. He was kept, right? Inside the lion's den, he was kept. Joseph, oh, his brothers, throwing him in a pit, killing one of the sheep, putting blood all over the coat that his father had given, taking it back to his father, saying he must have been killed by some animal, sold into slavery, being taken into Potiphar's house, Potiphar's wife, you know, wanting to have him for herself, and him refusing, even running out of this his outer garment away from her, and then her accusing him of having, you know, tried to rape her, and then him being thrown into prison, even through all that. He might have wondered, what in the world have I done, and what in the world is going on? Why is it that all these things are happening unto me? Those things still happen to the people of God who are kept by the power of God. He came out of the prison house and was brought into Pharaoh's house. And he was second only to Pharaoh. And through all that, the Lord spared His people the famine that was going on in the land. He said, "You did it," He said to His brothers. "You did it. You meant it for evil. But you know what? The Lord meant it for good." Why? He was kept by the power of God. That's what was happening in his life. Kept and preserved by the power of God. I'm already out of time. Let me say something else. Because there are people who would take liberty with this truth and take license of this truth and pervert it, as we were talking about before, saying that, "Well, I can live however I please." Like in the book of Romans, "Let us sin that grace may abound." No. That's not the person being kept by the power of God that has that sort of an attitude. The person just thinks, "Well, I can just sit back and relax and live my life any old way I please." I'm not saying you can't count upon or trust in the power of God. Yes. For those who are in Christ. Yes. 1 Peter 1:5 says, "We are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." Paul said in Romans 8:38 and 39, "For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord," for those who are in Christ. There are some, though, who deceive themselves, thinking that they can do these things and get away with it, and that they can claim this promise for their own, but they can't. Those who are Christ's will desire to persevere as they are being preserved. Knowing that we can't keep ourselves, preserve ourselves, persevere by ourselves according to our own strength or might. We're told those who persevere unto the end shall be saved. Those who shall be saved. Those are the ones who are kept by the power of God. So we look unto Him to keep us. We press on. We keep ourselves. Here's the Christian. He's keeping himself in the love of God. How do you keep yourself in the love of God? You keep His commandments. Those who love me keep my commandments. So I keep myself in the love of God by keeping His commandments. I keep myself in the Word of God. I'm dependent upon the Spirit of God. Praying all the while that I might be kept. Yeah, God's made this promise. I need to pray and plead that I might be kept according to that promise. Because I know it's not by my own power that I'm going to triumph. It's not by my own strength, but by the strength that He gives. And His providence and His power and His ability and His might that overrules and oversees everything. So, if we have the attitude or the mindset that I can sin and get away with it because of this, there's something really bad wrong with our thinking, if we even want to do so. God tells us in His Word that sin shall not have dominion over us. If we're His, that means we won't fall into sin, because we do often. But we'll be kept from our faith failing and from falling by His power. Sin won't continue to have dominion over us, dominate us, control us, ruin us. Not those who are kept by the power of God. We can fall into sin. We can become careless. We can leave off praying. Leave off reading God's Word. Leave off watching against sin. We can let our guard down. We think we can handle it. It's just a little sin. Not being careful to avoid the appearance of evil. And allow things into our hearts and lives that never should have been allowed there. And left to ourselves, they would ruin us, even the smallest of things. Why don't they? For those in Christ, because they're kept by the power of God. As with Peter, the Lord's prayed for us that our faith fail not. If a Christian is in sin, like I've said to you so many times before, he's a miserable person. Not anyone more miserable than a Christian in sin who hasn't kept his heart with diligence, but fallen into some sin. Being the Lord's, you can be assured of this. He will be rescued. He will be delivered. He will be brought out of that. I don't know that I'm going to have time for the rest of this morning. We may have to pick up some of this next Lord's Day. Let me just end with a passage out of 1 John. Turn over there with me. We'll read this and then we'll be dismissed. 1 John chapter 2. First John chapter number 2, beginning in verse number 1. My little children, these things write I unto you. Sorry, that's page 900 if anybody's looking for it in the Pew Bible. My little children, these things write I unto you that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And He is the propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby we know, or we do know, that we know Him if we keep His commandments. He that saith, I know Him, and keepeth not His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth His word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in Him. He that saith, He abideth in Him, ought himself also so to walk, even as He walked. Those who are kept by the power of God, those who walk, desire to be conformed into the image of Christ. Is that our desire? You know, Judas followed with the 12 that he might have his hand in the money bag. That's what kept him. That money bag having money in it kept him. And some people are kept by that. Other people are kept by the power of God. Which are you? What are you being kept by? Being kept by things like Judas was kept by? Lost? Or being kept by the power of God? Where are we? Let's stand.